Father God, I thank you for this opportunity to speak your word. Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit fills the sanctuary this morning. I pray that your word is spoken. I pray that ears are opened and hearts are softened to receive your word. Lord, I pray that if there are people in this room today that need to know you in a deeper way, I pray that there is something in the word, something that is preached, that is just resonated as a seed that is planted to bear fruit. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're doing a series at the moment on freedom, and we're doing a three-part series. I'm the middle, and I'm going to be speaking on freedom to serve, but last week, Len opened the series on freedom and focusing on Galatians 5, verses 13 to 18. And just to recap some of the things that he was speaking about was just how we are free through Jesus Christ, through the love that God has shown on us through these grace, which we're going to speak about today. He has given us freedom. But that is a freedom that it's not just to do what we want. It's not just to come and go as we please, but it's to operate within a structure. It's to operate with the confines of healthy boundaries that allow us to grow, allow us to serve, and allow us to glorify God. So one thing I really appreciated from what Len was saying was how they used Galatians 5 for the Magna Carta, the statement of liberty that was given, and it really just sort of embodies the freedom in which we as Christians should operate. And today the next part of the series is still dealing with freedom, but it's freedom to serve. And we're a serving church. Right now, we've got a team that's out in Tofield that are leading worship, that they're going to, Herman's preaching, Nicole is leading worship. We are a serving church. It's what we do. It's what we do every Sunday. It's what we do every Thursday. It's what we do as a community of Enjoy Life Church. And the church are actually quite proud to serve. I think it's something that sets us apart in how we're all engaged in serving. But when you start speaking of serving, when you start looking at, you start speaking about the words of serving, automatically the hair on the back of our head starts to stand up. You know, you start to feel, okay, well, I'm going to come over here. I've been placed over here to put a mantle of guilt on you, to start speaking about your obligation to serve, that if you're not serving, there's something wrong. And I want to try and clear that up today. I think in preparing through this sermon, I really wrestled with it because it's been a busy time in my life at the moment, and it's just I find a lot of things being asked of me, and I naturally just try and say yes because my love language is service. So this one's a bit of an easier one for me, but I still had to wrestle with it because I don't want you, and I don't think the eldership wants you to leave here today feeling obligated or guilty to serve. That's not why we do it. As a matter of fact, if you are operating from a point of guilt, if you're operating from a point of obligation, it's pointless and meaningless. Okay? So the areas I want to focus on today is what is your calling? What is your purpose? And how do we operate in the freedom that God has given us to truly glorify Him? Okay. So let's start off with back to the core verse of the series, Galatians 5. And Galatians 5, verses 13 to 18. I'll go through it again just to continue with the theme of the theme of the series. And then I'm going to pick some verses that really stood out for me. So it says here, "You, my brothers and sisters," and I'm reading from the NIV this morning. "You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out or you'll be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." And for the purposes of today's preach, I want to specifically focus on the first two verses. When we start speaking about freedom to serve, I want to focus on those, the first two that are just going to set the theme of where I want to take today's preach. I'll go back over. It says here, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free. First and foremost, when we start speaking about calling, everybody wants to know what they called for. How many of you want to know that you called? Just show of hands here. Let's get a bit of responsibility. I've been talking to my wife about this Pentecostal way of acknowledging a preach of like when you start saying, wow, oh, that's good. You know, as a guy who didn't necessarily come from that background, I used to think that people who did that had Tourette's. But now what I've found is that this is a good way to acknowledge. So you say like, wow, yeah. So here's the first part of here where it says here, you were called. Each and every one of you sitting here today know that you were called to be free. Okay? Okay. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather serve one another humbly in love. Okay. That's just the word. Thank you, Helen. I think it's important just from what we're speaking over there, when you start thinking of which direction you should go. It speaks, there's a clear part of here where it says, we're free, we call to be free, okay? And then what you've got is, you can either choose the way of the flesh, or you can choose the way of serving, okay? And it's not like you can choose the way of the flesh and serve, it doesn't say that. It goes back and says, don't choose the way of the flesh, choose serving. And it doesn't say just serve, it says serve in love. Okay? And why that's important is because we're not just serving. It's not just the thing that you're coming up to a server where you come in through a drive-through for a coffee and they give you a coffee. This is actually saying serve in love, which for me is saying immerse yourself in love. Use love as the vessel in which you are going to serve. It's an important part because what that means is that you're going to do the service wholeheartedly. You're not just going to do it because, but wholeheartedly serve one another. When you start looking at that, I think the key thing is that if you are serving someone wholeheartedly, there's no obligation. Okay? And I've got to distinguish the difference between obligation and I've got to separate it from how we serve someone wholeheartedly. I'll give you an example. It was Christmas 2000, okay? And I want you, by the way, we have a daughter. And I think, as you know, that's a wow. But I think I'm going to put a bit of a precursor here that my preachers going forward are going to start involving my kids. I'm proud to say that. But one thing I realized when I was speaking about this thing on obligation is that I am concerned for my daughter because I know how I treated my three older sisters. My three older sisters had boyfriends and quite honestly, they didn't stand a chance. They really had to go through a number of things before I could really accept them as the person worthy of my sister. So I don't know what's going to happen with my daughter, but that's a side note. Anyway, Christmas 2000 and we are, the way our family do it, we don't pick one name. You know, you buy gifts for everybody. And my sister had this boyfriend called Gareth. And Gareth, it was coming towards the end, and I was getting a bit concerned about this guy, and I still needed to be the tough guy. I realized I was 16 at the time, 17 at the time. He was 10 years older than me, but I still think I could have taken him. But it comes to me having to buy a gift for him. And I'm like, this is not happening. Like, and my mom's saying, no, listen, you need to buy a gift for Gareth. And I'm just thinking in my head, you know, I'm 17. I've got to buy gifts for the whole family because that's the way our family do it. And I've got this guy that I don't necessarily like, let alone love. So what I do is we have Christmas dinner and we open the gifts on Christmas Eve. And anyway, it goes to the next day. It's Christmas dinner and I'm sitting there at the table and I'm like, Gareth, did you get your gift? And he's like, no. I'm like, what? You didn't get your gift? I was like, oh, man, it's a wrapped up thing. It's about this big. It's underneath the Christmas tree. So he gets up and he goes and looks. And it's not there. And I'm like, no. I mean, you didn't get your gift. And he was convinced he had this gift. I convinced him that he had a gift. I never got him a gift. Later on, I told him that I got him 3 Pro V1 golf balls. And he was very disappointed. I said, I don't know what happened. Maybe there was someone that came in and thought it was their gift. I'm really sorry. I couldn't care. To be honest with you, it probably wasn't right. I lied at Christmas. But the thing is, I felt that this was an obligation that I didn't necessarily want to fill. I'm going to contrast that now with my wedding. So I'm only going to get married once, and I get married to this beautiful woman this year. And I want to find a way, and I've told you now, my love language is service. And I want to find a way in which I can honor Mel, and I can honor my family through this wedding. So I go over the top. Like, I go over the top, trying over here, I'm behind Mel, trying to get some things done. But as soon as we land in South Africa, I just switch on to, like, execution mode. And I am doing everything. Like, I am wrapping up these favors for people, like, three times. It's like, you wrap it up in cellophane, then you wrap it up in brown paper, and you wrap it up with blue ribbon, and you put a sticker on it. Right? I was sitting, when my wife-to-be was sitting on the beach with her family, I was sitting there wrapping up things, finding out the music, and I was doing it, and it didn't mean a thing to me from, oh, you know, boo-hoo me. It was, I wanted to do it. I wanted to serve her because I loved her so much. And this was the opportunity to truly show her how much I love her. There was a bit of an issue there because her love language is not service. Her love language is quality time, and there was no quality time during that time, so there was a bit of a discussion before the wedding. But the thing is that I just loved her wholeheartedly through serving her and serving her through this wedding. Putting things together, I just enjoyed it. I wanted to do it. And God wants that from us too. God wants us to wholeheartedly love Him. Bring our best efforts to serve Him. Okay? Serve Him with our talents. Serve Him with our gifts. Right? So when you start speaking about the collection plate going around, don't put money in because you feel that the person next to you is putting money in. Put in because you love him. When there is an opportunity to serve in the church, you do it because you want to love. If I'm asking one of you guys to help with men's ministry, don't do it because I'm asking you. Do it because you have a heart for men to change in the city of Edmonton. And when Laurie's asking you about the women, do the same because you want to see spiritually strong women in the church, in homes, in business, whatever it may be. And when Andrea's asking for help on the kids ministry, do it because you have a heart for kids, knowing that sometimes the only time these kids are going to have any access to the Word of God is going to be on Sunday mornings before they go back into school and they're exposed to who knows what. That is your opportunity. And if there's youth, you know, youth is also an important part of the church. You know that being a teenager, we all have gone through it, is one of those awkward times. Your body grows in disproportionate rates. There's a whole bunch of things where you're just awkward. And if you feel as though that you want to surround teenagers with love to help them and guide them through that time in their life, then jump in it and do it in love. And sometimes there's not going to be things that you necessarily want to do. Like, I don't see it. It's always a standing joke when we've got these service teams and they say, well, who's going to wash the toilets? No one necessarily wants to wash the toilets, but the idea isn't washing the toilets. The idea is serving a church. The idea is serving God. And through that, people can come to know God. People can come to experience God. And that might mean doing a couple of tasks that you don't necessarily like doing, but there's a higher cause. I didn't necessarily like sticking gold stickers in a particular way on the third wrapping of a favor. But I did it because I loved Mel, and I wanted to honor her through the service. And that's what's asked for us all the time. All the time when we love God, because of the love that we have for God, that's what evokes service. It's not obligation. And I really think that you need to shift the focus from obligation. Now, when you go back to Galatians over there, and you realize that the letter to the Galatians was really to set right between the Gentiles who were being converted, and Paul was trying to write this letter to kind of show that there is a new way through Christ, but it's not the abolishing of the law, because the Jewish Pharisees were getting all sort of worked up. He was trying to write this letter to say that there is a new way through Christ. You can see he honors the law, the commandments, the honor of the commandments of loving your neighbor as you love yourself. And so often when we love ourselves, you know, we naturally love ourselves. We are people who, we are selfish people. We are human. But through that, it's, if you can reflect that same love onto people, the same way you love yourself, that is honoring a commandment. So the way in which the letter's been written, it still sounds as though there's a command and there's an instruction. If you read it for me, when I see it over here, it says here, don't indulge in the flesh. It's still a command. And I think that in order to truly understand it, I found life in Ephesians 2. And I'm going to move on to Ephesians 2 now. But I found life in it because, again, what it moves away from is the instruction and goes more towards the why we're doing what we do. Why do we serve? Why do we have the ability, first of all, to be free? And then how do we move on to a point of freedom? So go with me to Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. Again, the NIV. And I'm hoping through the message of Ephesians 2, 1 to 10, we'll be able to come out with a better understanding of, one, why we're free, and then understanding why we serve a God who served us first. So let's break it down. Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of the world, and of a ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. If you read that context, then what I guaranteed you today, I said you're going to come out here having a renewed passion for your calling and your purpose. When you start to read this, this is a pretty depressing start. It's a pretty depressing start that is speaking of you and I, that where we were in the beginning was just destined for dead. We were slaves to sin. We just followed the world. And when we followed the world, we not only followed the world, but it goes over there and it says there, and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. So we also followed Satan. And that's a touchy subject, because we don't like to think about that, but that's what scripture's saying. We were following the world, the ways of the world. We were following the ways of Satan. And then what we have over here is we were just indulging in the cravings of our flesh. We were simply just hungry to feed our starved flesh, which was sinful in nature. And when I get this image, I think of cattle on the way to the abattoir. And what you've got is these cattle that are just marching ahead, and all they do is they just graze and they just follow each other one after the other, unbeknown to them that they are going to die. And that's the way we were. We were just cattle on the way to die. And then Paul goes on to say that we were objects of wrath, which means that our punishment because of our sinful nature was really death. And when at the end times, what was going to happen is we were going to see God, and God was going to lift out his book, and he was going to say, PJ, you did this, 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 went on and on and on. And the reality is that your penalty is death. And that's what we were deserved of. It's pretty depressing, but it's so important for the context to understand where we were. Where I was, where you were, we were in a position where the only thing we deserved was actually death because of our sinful nature. But then we move on to Ephesians 2, verses 4 to 7, and says there, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised up with Christ and seated us. God has raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Jesus Christ, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ. Now, before I go on, there's a couple of words over there that use great love, rich in mercy, and incomparable. And I think what we need to do is just adjust the scale over here. We're not talking human measures, we're talking God measures. Now, realize that this is God who created everything. His measure of great is incomparable to what we could even imagine as what great is. His measure of riches covers the riches that the world has today, the riches that are still in the ground to be found, and beyond that. You know, this is, we're talking billions and billions and billions of quantum size compared to what we could even imagine. So when he starts using the words of high favor, high riches, great riches, you know that this is really magnified. So we start off on the first part and we realize that we are slaves. We're slaves to our sin. We are destined for dead. And then by God's grace, by God's immeasurable grace and love for us, he picks us up from our pit of where we were destined for dead, and he saves us. He saves us. He washes us clean. Through the blood of Jesus, we are washed clean. And then he not only just saves us, it's like, but wait, there's more. He then picks us up and places us at the same table as his perfect son, Jesus. And then what he intends to do is give us incomparable riches beyond that. The size of that and the understanding of the love that a God has for his people that can take the people that rejected him and moved him over to a position where they not only saved him, but moved him higher to sit at the same table as his perfect son and then give him riches is absolutely just mind-blowing in terms of the size that you, of what this love, what this amazing grace, this, the favor that cannot be earned. And you ask yourself why. Like, why would a God do this? And when we look at it, it says here, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. So God is saying he did all of this. He took us from a journey from rags to riches. It's one of those great stories of like rags to riches. I was here and now I'm here. And he did that all because of the love that he has for us. And through that, he demonstrates his glory. So now when you start thinking of the purpose that we have for, that God has for us, this is a purpose where God can use us. He's actually shown that he's going to show the love, the true glory of who God is by taking us from our pit and putting us at the table with Jesus. That's just mind blowing in terms of the size of what they got there. So you think of it, how that glory manifests in years to come, in future years when he shows the glory. You're going to have people that are going to look at God and say, these were your people. These were your people that were sinners. They were the ones that spat in your face, rejected you, crucified your son. And then now what you do is, despite all of that, you show your love, you show your grace, you show your mercy, and you give them riches. That there is, Helen, a wow moment. That is where God is going to truly show his glory. And when they look at that, when people look at that, they truly come to understand this is an amazing God. This is an amazing God filled with love that I don't even understand. So now when you start thinking of your purpose, realize as a believer in Christ, your purpose is to reflect the glory and the love that God has poured out onto you. Right? And this is all important in terms of how we build up our, why we operate from a position to actually serve. As we move on to verses 8 to 9, Ephesians 2, 8 to 9, it says there, for it is grace, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is a gift from God, not by works, so you cannot boast. So now you're thinking that, okay, we've got this immeasurable faith, this unmerited favor that we've received, that we continue to receive in our day-to-day lives. And God is saying that it's only by your faith, only the fact that you believe in my Son as your Lord and Savior, are you saved. But everything else I have done. It was not by your works. It was not by your finances. It was not by the number of mission trips that you've been on. It's not by the number of years that you spent in Bible school. It was not by the number of times that you've sat and you've knelt in church. It was not by your works, but by my love, the unmerited favor that I've poured out onto your life. And when you start to think of unmerited, unmerited is something that was given without merit. You couldn't pay for it. Okay? You can't pay for it. And why that's important is because if we have it where we have to earn it, the focus is on us. Okay? If you think of an athlete that is at the Olympics, Usain Bolt, for example, he runs the 100 meters, he runs the 200, he runs the relay, he wins gold unless he pulls a hamstring. And all of that comes down to the hard work that he's put in. And he gets deserved glory. He gets deserved glory for the time that he puts in to his discipline to get the gold medals and the accolades that he has. But if we're to switch it over, then in order for us to receive the favor and the incomparable riches that are on offer that God wants to give us, and it's based on works, then we stand from a position of being able to boast. We're the ones that will be able to one day sit in heaven and say, I can sit back and look what I did. And God doesn't want that in heaven. He doesn't want any of that in heaven. He wants this universal humility amongst his people, knowing that there was no difference between myself and Jordan in how we got the favor. There was no difference between Micah and Ben, just because he loves you, that you received the favor. And from that position, we cannot boast. And why is that important? It's important because when you start to think of works, works cannot be about what I'm doing. How many times I'm polishing the floor. How many times am I doing these things to please God? Because it's not about that. It's not about that. It's about bringing your best effort. So I think it's very important to know that this is an important piece to set, that it's not by your works, but by God, an almighty Father that has done this. And I think also what happens is that you now start to really understand when you start looking at purpose to glorify God, it's the glory of God is given to him because it's because of his works. It's because of the unmerited favor and love that he's given us. So once we've now established this, we understand that we are a people that were broken. We were a people that were dead. We were a people that deserved nothing. Here is an almighty Father that has saved us. Here is an almighty Father that has seated us next to Jesus and has given us incomparable riches. And he's told us that it's not by your works. And he said all of that context, and then he leads into Ephesians 2 verse 10. And he says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So with the context of that, all of a sudden you realize that we're not here on this earth just to survive, to go from an 8-to-5 job. We're not on this earth in itself to go to the first part of the text to say that we are just to receive incomparable riches in future days. We are here to do good works that were planned for us in advance for us to do. And I love the word that it's handiwork. Because it says here, we are God's handiwork. And when you think of handiwork, if you look at it, it's work of the hand. It's personally done. So when you think of handiwork, usually it is craftsmanship. So if you understand that you are God's craftsmanship, that he created, he made with his hands in his image. And now you start thinking about the purpose that he has for you. He had a purpose and he had a plan for you in which he would make you in his image using his handiwork. He would then bring you into this world, and through the love that he had for you, he would let you go. And he would let you go to go and pursue the desires of your flesh. He would let you go to go and pursue another kingdom. And then once that's all done, he would come back to his handiwork, you. And he would then say, I'm going to pick you up. I'm going to seat you at the table. And I'm going to give you incomparable riches. Now you start to see this is the platform from which we can serve. And God's saying that you didn't deserve it, but I gave it to you. And when you understand that this is the background to it, all of a sudden, don't you just have a desire to serve God? Don't you just have a desire to serve Him in the understanding that all He's done for you, all of a sudden it forces you to serve. I love watching the end of service over here. It's one of the best social experiments you can actually do. So we'll have a service team that works. And the service team will do their things each week, the way in which we run it. But I promise you now, a person who is not serving and stands next to a person who's mopping a floor or who's taking a plate, the person who's not even on the service team will start to help. It becomes addictive. It becomes, you naturally start to find yourself moving with this wheel of service to honor and glorify God. It's just natural the way in which that happens. And I promise you, you watch it. It happens so often. Mel and I were at a dinner on Friday night, and it was a charity dinner. And it's an amazing banquet that they put on. But these people actually, you pay money. So I want to put that context over there that we paid money. Yet these people come throughout the evening and they just serve you food. Like you get stuffed. You have to bring your stretchy pants just to eat. You're really full. And then when you've got a squeezed baby against your stomach, it's even worse. But really what you've got is these people were serving. And it is just strange in preparation for this, for the sermon to watch the people, even though they paid, naturally start to help serve as well. And they help bring the dishes through, and they pick these pieces up just because the people are loving on them. And I want to set that context for God. The context for God that I put over here is that we've read this whole story of how He's helped us, how He's covered our sins, how He's put us amongst Jesus, and He's given us riches. Why would you not want to serve this God? Why would you not want to serve this God according to the talents and the skills that He's actually given you? Unique skills, unique gifts that He has given you. So, I could probably have the music team actually come up and you can start looking. You can start playing. We said that we're going to speak about calling. We said we're going to speak about purpose. And we said that we're going to speak about the context of freedom to serve. Each and every one of you, from the first piece of scripture in Galatians, says that you were called. You were called to freedom. Okay? You're in this position where you have been called. Realize that this morning. But then, as we went along to Ephesians, you start to realize how God served us. How God loved on us. It wasn't just a passive love. It was an active pursuit for us in our mess. It was an active pursuit for us where we were destined for dead. And then He comes and He says that I have work for you to do. I have work for you to do, not only to give you riches in a future date, but I have planned work for you that I planned in advance. So I look at each and every one of you in this room. And I could pick anybody of you. I'll pick Micah. I'm going to pick you. Micah, you're a man with purpose. You are a man that before you were even born, before even you were even knitted in your mother's womb, God knew the work that He was going to have for you. He has given you a unique set of skills. A set of skills that are different from me and different from Len and different from Nick. But He's given you a unique set of skills, and He's actually planned out work for you to do. There is purpose in that work. And I could go on. I could go to each and every one of you today and do exactly the same thing. I could do the same for myself. I could do the same for Mel. Every one of you has unique purpose based on the skills that have been given to you. Tess and Phil, it's nice to see you this morning. What are you going to do with him? When you think of in 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7, it says that through the manifestation of the Spirit, we have been given skills. We have been given gifts for the common good. Okay? So each and every one of you have been given a gift. Many gifts that uniquely make up a different variable of a human. But all of it for the common good of God's church. All of it so that we can serve a God that served us first. Served us first with a love that we cannot even begin to understand. With a grace that is unmerited favor that we cannot even begin to understand. Realize that he took his perfect son. The body was broken. The blood was poured out for you, for you, for you, for you, everybody. I just think of it, man. It's just like, man, I'll get choked up. Mel knows. I just have to watch like a baby in a TV show and I start to cry now. But I know how precious a child is. And I haven't even met my daughter. But I can imagine God having this perfect son who's done nothing wrong, that has lived out everything. And he still sacrifices that perfect child for each and every one of us. That is service that we don't even begin to understand. And I'll tell you now, I would never do that. I can tell you now, I don't think I'd be able to give it up. I don't be able to give my daughter up. But I can tell you that God did that for you. And in doing that for you, there's an activation, a call for service. That love, that is a billion times more than what I could ever have done for Mel at the wedding. And yet God does that for us on a daily basis. Actively working in our lives, serving us. So he's paid the price, so we are free. And he's given us skills for us to do. Start asking yourselves where you are today. Start asking yourselves, where has God placed you today? Whether it be in this church, whether it be in the workplace, whether you are a mom at home, just looking after your kids, making sure that they will survive today. That is work. That is good works that God has planned for you in advance. And use the gifts that have manifested through the Holy Spirit to serve. You know, we've got an amazing eldership team. They do a great job. But the reality is that there is such a limit amount, on their skill set. There's only so much that they can do. But all of a sudden, if you start to expand that out on the skills that have been placed in this church, whether you're a teacher, whether you've got administrative skills, whether you've got cooking skills, whatever it may be, if you think of the skills and the variables of the skills and how they make up each and every one of you, you can think that there is exponential power for this church to have an impact in the city and in the kingdom of God. In a way that we can reflect the light of Jesus, in the way that we can expand his kingdom through us, and in the way that we can truly give God glory for the things that he is doing and the things that he has done. Honor the service that he has given you. And when our hearts harden, because they typically do, I know, like, one of the easiest things is, PJ, I'm tired. PJ, you don't understand what's going on. And I don't understand what's going on in your life, but I can empathize with the demand on time. I can empathize on the things that are required of me on a daily basis. But I do know that when I'm against the ropes and I'm tired and I don't necessarily want to serve, I find that God comes to reach me and just gives me a different level capacity. I got my mom, and she'll probably hear this recording afterwards. And what she will say is, Pete, my boy, you're going too hard. You're going too hard. You need to slow down. You need to slow down. But I just find these different levels of capacity that is inspired by God, because you're just hungry based on what he has given me, what he's given you. So I leave that with you today. I leave that with you today, that let that resonate in, that you are called to serve. You have purpose in serving, and you have planned works that were set for you long before you were even born. When the foundations of this earth were being laid, that is when the works that were called of you were already set into motion. And here you are today. So ask yourself, where are you sitting and what are you doing? kind of don't even want to finish off on that high, but as I was going through the text, and just reading it, and as I said, I always have a laugh for, a laugh with Mel on when they say the wows, and I know we use it in tongue in cheek and stuff, but as I was reading through that text, I truly understood what it meant to start saying like, wow. As I was understanding what God had done for me, said the wow. So we sit, and part of the text that I had to preach today was Luke 22, verses 24 to 27. And I probably got Jordan over here thinking, why did you not follow the script? And the reason why is because I felt that there needed to be an understanding. You needed context as to why we serve. You needed to see what God has done and what God is continuing to do so that we are activated to serve. Why not honor the service that God has done for us? It kind of works out nicely that the month of November we speak about the freedom to serve, and that's two words that are so powerful amongst November. When you think of Veterans Day, it's almost like a universal holiday in which we celebrate the veterans, and we celebrate them because of them laying their lives down for us, them risking their lives for our freedom, and through that service, we honor them. And I just feel it on my heart this morning to, Helmut, do you want to come up? Ben, do you want to come up? Where's Selma? Selma? Is there a chair? I just want to get a chair for, we can stand. That's okay. Bring it along. No, we can just have Selma. She can have a seat over here. There we go. I just, when we were doing, Ben, it's still with you. I was, Helmut, you can come stand over here. When we were doing praise and worship, I was just looking around and I was just thinking of the service that we have, and there's no reason why there's a special seat for Selma. There's just we don't want her to stand, so you can have a seat over there. And I was just looking around, and there was just, I felt that there were jumps at my heart on people that I wanted to thank on behalf of the kingdom this morning. And I had to lean across to my wife, I had to lean across to her mom to find out exactly how home it fit into the picture. But you were a Bible school teacher, and you valiantly taught people not knowing where those seeds would fall. And you did it in faith, and you served based on the skills, the teaching skills that you had. And you happened to teach our pastor, the head pastor of Enjoy Life Church of you. And this is the fruits of the seeds that you were planting by being obedient, by obediently serving God. And I wanted to thank you in Remembrance Month. I wanted to thank you as a veteran for the kingdom for the work that you have done. And God is pleased. God is pleased, and you can see it all over here. You can see it all over here because this is also a fruit of the work that you have put in. I'll leave that with you. Selma, when you came up for prayer, I just looked at you and I just wanted to honor you for the service that you have given the kingdom. And you think of Brightwood Youth Ranch, and it's still an institution today that you and Grandpa Irvin set up in faith and served hours and hours and hours standing in the kitchen, maybe even hurting your back by peeling potatoes, whatever that may be, just so that there may be people that could understand the gospel. That there can be kids in need that the gospel can reach. And there's some kids over here that are now adults that are having successful marriages, that are writing music over here because of the work that you guys did in faith. And I just feel that this morning, God wants to thank you for your service. As a veteran of the kingdom, I just feel as though He wants to thank you for your service. And Ben, I don't think that there would ever be a Veterans Day memorial, or not a memorial, a Veterans Day thank you without thanking you for your service that you gave your country. This is a war vet that has come out from Afghanistan, right? And you went out there as a young boy, probably seeing things, and I say young boy because you were just probably 20, that's still young, and seeing things that you probably should never see in terms of war. It's a violent place, things that I am spared from actually seeing. And you did that, and I think through hearing your story, there's a larger part that has just worked in your life of where you find today. And I feel that that is just preparation. As God spared your life in the service that you showed for your country, He's going to continue to use you and use your story and use the reputation and honor that you have as people look up to you to actually serve in the kingdom of God. I'm just going to encourage you this morning as we finish off over here that if there is something this morning that resonated with you, if you don't know where you don't know that you are loved, you don't know that it's been paid for, you don't understand the glory of God's love over your life, or you don't know yet what the skills are in your life that are manifest through the Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask you as we close out in a song to come up and have a prayer, and I'm going to ask these veterans of the kingdom to pray for you. And I'm asking that you come up in faith. Ask up to come in faith to honor the veterans that have already walked the road and can share experience with you. They can walk this road with you because that's what we do. That's what we do as a community for the common good of the church that God is building. So if we can just stand, please. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we have the freedom to serve you. I thank you that we have the freedom that we may receive your glory. That we are not only saved, but we are placed at the table with Jesus. That we are in line to receive incomparable riches, Lord. And that you have works that are set out for us. That you have works that are set out for us that were planned long before we walked this earth. And Lord, I pray that the people that are here today have a touch of your Spirit. So that they may be affirmed of your love, your immeasurable faith, your immeasurable grace over their lives, Lord. And I pray that they may be active, activated to serve you, not out of obligation, not out of guilt, but out of the love for the kingdom to glorify you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.